Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Monday, April 6, 2020. I often say if we had 2020 hindsight, wouldn't that be something? Sporting a new look today. Eric, the tech, came into the studio today and said, sit down. Chased me around with dog shears. This is my warrior look. Is it rocking you?
Sergeant Doug.
You know, the reason I start off with that, it's not to bring any, seriously, it's not to bring any attention to me. It's, have you noticed how life has been dramatically altered, you know? And this is just, it's just getting started. I often open the program by saying this is a Hagman Report where truth can't be silenced. You know, over the weekend, I've had incredible opportunities to speak with a lot of different people in the alternative media. And some at the periphery of the mainstream media as well. It's interesting to me, to see platforms, and I often refer to InfoWars because they're out in the front lines and they're the most visible, and they're the most visibly challenged with respect, or challenged in terms of taking off the information, silencing that platform. And again, it doesn't matter. It could be MSNBC. I would not agree with the tactics that are taking place, and I want people to know that. The tactics that are taking place right now, censors, the globalists, they're doubling down on their efforts. Take a look at the headlines. You know, well, don't, if you don't want to. But, I mean, you look at the headlines, it's some of the things that we had said a couple of weeks ago about the fibrosis of the tissue of the lungs with respect to this virus. We're seeing that kind of confirmed. We're seeing the heart damage references being made. We're all of the things that we were talking about several weeks ago are coming out and being confirmed. I'll say this. The worst is yet to come. With respect to COVID-19, the Communist Chinese Party virus, which it should be known as that, the Communist Chinese Party virus, Wuhan virus, the mutations and such. With me today, Eric the Tech, we got him?
I'm working on getting him. I had him, then he dropped.
All right. So we're with me today, as usual, is going to be John Moore. I want to get this take on a couple of things that, are front and center, I believe, or should be front and center in our search for the truth about what's going on. I take you back while we're working on getting, John, hang on just one second here. I'll get it. This is pretty interesting. You remember last week, Peter Barry Chowka had sent me a document, conservativehq.com, left moving from proof of concept to execution on plan to bring down America. This by George Rasley, the editor of conservativehq.com. And I want to bring your, I want to set as a foundation for this broadcast today, this because I think this encapsulates what we're talking about. He writes that there are three things now moving rapidly below the surface of American politics and culture that should alert conservatives to the extreme danger now facing the United States and the future of our constitutional government. Now, I'm paraphrasing. I'm sticking words in there that are not there, but conveying the idea here. He writes, now, the first is the successful execution of the Chinese communist biowarfare attack on the West. And I've talked to a handful of doctors, some virologists, some infectious disease specialists, and with respect to the, and some just general practitioners, but with respect to those who are looking at this particular virus, the makeup and the information that we've received by way of InfoWars from Dr. Francis Boyle, everything points to more of a circumstantial, more of an anecdotal evidence that this, in fact, is a bioweapon. Now, the circumstances in which it was released, we don't really know, but we can suspect. And I would suspect that it was, at least in my view, based on everything I've been able to come up with, an intentional release. But he writes, back to conservative HQ, he writes that the first is the successful execution of the communist Chinese biowarfare attack on the West. The second, and this is equally important, the second is the speed at which the Cloward-Piven strategy of overwhelming government services to bring down the target government has advanced. Read Kissinger. Read Brzezinski. You know, Mika's daddy. Okay, Morning Joe Mika, her daddy. Read what she wrote. Go to George Bush, The Thousand Points of Light. All of the New World Order speech, September 11th, prior to 9/11/01. Read all of those. And you can even go back further. Again, that was Alex Jones talking on InfoWars, talking about Plato. Talking about Hitler and Nietzsche, we are seeing this play out right now before our very eyes, and I believe that we're seeing a process of eugenics in play. All right, so hold that thought right there, and just yell in my ear when he's there. The third is the ease with which the far left media operators, the media today, the mainstream media today, have stampeded the executive branch of state and local government into enthusiastically violating the Constitution of our country in the name of preventing the spread of this particular virus. How many of you have neighbors, have friends, have family members who are on board with the constitutional violations? I dare say the majority of you, because the majority are not understanding. It's easy to get very afraid of something you can't see. I've often said on this program, and I'll say it again, you know, if this virus was in the form and in the shape of a communist Chinese soldier invading your town, you could take a baseball bat. You could, it's an easily identifiable and understandable threat. Where the disconnect, in my view, comes is people are not understanding the threat. The government has not communicated the threat, or in the instances in which they have done a poor job and they have been contradictory. And there are a lot of things that don't make any sense. And I'm going to tell you, having raised teenagers, having been a father, having dealt with employees, having dealt with people lie. Okay. And when you are given explanations that don't make any sense, there is a lie embedded in those explanations, or multiple lies. Those with a sense of history will recall that the last great attack on America, the ostensible Islamist attack of 9/11/01, the real strategic goal, as borne out by documentation, at least on the Islamic side. Now, understand this is that was a multifaceted attack. I'm not speaking to, you know, the inside job narrative. I'm not speaking. No, just look at the one component of this, the Islamist attack. What they were going after was what? Our economy. Where in this election year, we're 210 days away from a general election. Where is, has President Trump been most vulnerable? It's the economy. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the economy, strong economy. Yes, I understand the Federal Reserve. Yes, I understand the false money. I get all of that. But when you're 210 days today from a general election, you can understand, well, we've got to do something to stop this man. Stop Donald Trump. We've got to do something. What can we do? Well, where's the target that really we could really communicate distrust and disloyalty, break the loyalty away from President Trump? And in so doing, replace it with what? With a communist model, a Marxist communist model of government. Let's hit the economy. What did Obama try to do and did compliments of Roberts of the Supreme Court. He implemented Obamacare. What did that do? That hijacked 20% of our nation's economy? It successfully did so and decimated the healthcare system. What are people rallying for? A single-payer healthcare system. What are we seeing taking place with the coronavirus that really no one's talking about? It's the insurance company's response to the care of the coronavirus. Who's paying, by the way, who's paying all the bills for the test kits and for the equipment? Who are paying the bills? Who is paying the bills? There was an economist and researcher, Mark Davis, observed that the size, the scope, the strength of the U.S. economy is so immense that when all the calculations had been concluded, this now speaking of 9/11 of 01, when everything was said and done, the damage was relatively small because it was a confined, geographically confined area. And this time, however, it's different because now it is global. What are, and it doesn't take really an investigator, it doesn't take, you don't have to be Dick Tracy, to understand that, look, we've got an issue. And they're pushing for global governance, not just national. I mean, they're pushing for a one world global governance under, in certain cases, under the World Health Organization. The head of the WHO is really a genocidal maniac based on the information, open source information out there. And you're going to put that person in charge of this global response plan or even the CDC here nationally. Look, okay, back to the economy. Through our own government's choices, and again, I'm citing now Conservative HQ, that article from that Peter Berejiklian alerted me to. This time, through our own government's choices, we have provided the communist Chinese, the red Chinese, and let's never forget that distinction. I don't care how much you like, General Tso's chicken or whatever; it doesn't matter. This time, through our own government's choices, we've been provided with, we have provided the communist Chinese with proof of concept on how a biowarfare attack could work to destroy our economy and then allowed them to move directly to the execution phase of the attack by permitting them continued access to our media to spread fear through propaganda. By permitting them continued access to our capital markets, we haven't done anything in that area, to rebuild any collateral damage to their own economy, by permitting them continued access to our homeland, to spread this disease by keeping transportation links open between communist China and the United States. Now that, of course, was a contentious area with respect to President Trump shutting down travel to China right away. Oh, hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. Remember the left coming out and saying you can't do that? We're in a very, very extremely tenuous time with respect to China. So we have to tread carefully. Remember the uproar by some? Eric the Tech, you with me?
Yes.
Is John with me?
No, he's not available right now. I'm trying.
All right, no worries. John Moore is temporarily unavailable. I like how we're doing this live. Yeah, it works. All right. So look, and I'm not gonna worry about this in post either. It is what it is. But look, if this is an attack on the United States by communist China, should we expect the People's Liberation Army to land in San Francisco tomorrow? This, again, I'm citing from this article, because this is, at least in my view, it provides the clearest, most succinct picture of the larger image, of the larger picture. Now, with respect to them landing in San Francisco, he writes that they would probably be welcomed with open arms. And we have to understand how divided our nation is. Make that, you know, central Idaho, I don't think so. San Francisco, sure. New York, why not? Miami, of course. Maybe, with, you know, if they were wearing Che Guevara shirts or whatever, Castro shirts, I'm sorry. What I'm telling you is, the response in this respect is different geographically, which, by the way, as an aside, thank God we have the Electoral College. Why do you think, for example, the left is trying to get rid of the Electoral College? It's all related to the larger agenda. People need to think bigger. So while the Chinese Communist Army would be welcomed with open arms in San Francisco, that's not where this is headed. That's not where this is going necessarily, at least not in the short term. The next phase is to collapse, or is the collapse or near collapse, of the government due to this overwhelming demand for services by those whose livelihoods have been destroyed in this communist Chinese party's attack on us. Look out the window, drive down the street, look at the businesses that have been shuttered. Do not think for one moment that the majority of these businesses that have been shuttered because of this will come back. This is what President Trump is fighting, by the way. Fighting for. He realizes, as a businessman, he realizes that we cannot sustain this level of quarantine, lockdown, whatever you want to call it. We cannot sustain this. Have you ever seen anything like this? This war, these warring factions that are openly warring. If you know where to look, you can watch the war taking place in the United States, within the United States government. You can easily identify the deep staters. You can easily identify the people who are on the side of the Constitution and who are on the side of freedom. And you can easily identify, if you are awake and looking, the overall objectives. Again, we've got to think bigger in all of this. And I want to thank, by the way, I want to thank those who have sent in emails to studio@hagmanreport.com, two ends on Hagman, for all of the information you're providing. Some of it I can't tell you. I can refer to it, but I cannot tell you. You know, some of it's, hey, please don't, you know, I work at a hospital, just one, for example, I work at a hospital here, and, here's what I'm seeing. Please don't say anything, you know, but, it's not what is being reported in the media. And I think we're all seeing that. Now, as if I really need to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I want to preface this by saying, yes, this virus is not a hoax. This is not, this is a weaponized virus. Now, Project Veritas did this video, which I have a lot of respect for O'Keefe and Veritas, where he was driving to get tested. You might have seen this. And he was driving to get tested, and of course, the military is there, National Guard, reservists are there. to keep the line proper. And he said, "Hey, you know, you sing? What are you seeing? Essentially, what are you seeing here?" And one said, "You know, it's nothing too bad. It's just the flu. It's just the flu." All right. Look, it's easy to get confused, I believe, because I believe that there are, I think history will bear this out, that there are different strains of this Communist Chinese Party flu, COVID, coronavirus. Coronavirus is the overall, I look at it as the overall delivery system, and the subsets within this coronavirus would be the HIV and SARS tweaked delivery systems, which is the signature of a biowarfare agent, but that's just me. But you're seeing these dueling descriptions. But I would attribute a lot of that to what you're seeing happen in, for example, Montana, Idaho, Utah, even in my area, are not consistent with what's happening in New York or Los Angeles or some of the more urban areas. Well, that, of course, has to be expected. What I'm telling you on that is very simple. It's different. It's going to affect people differently. You're going to have different rates of infection. R-naught, as they call the infectious rate, I believe. R-naught, R-zero, R-naught, not for the zero. Okay. But so that adds to the confusion, because I could talk to somebody, again, I could talk to somebody in the central part of the United States. Well, everything's fine here. I go to the grocery store. Everything is fine. In New York, everything's not fine. We got a problem here in this hospital. I mean, we need ventilators. We need this. Okay. So I think some of the confusion is just because of the geographically unique nature of what is taking place. You cannot paint with the same brush different areas of the country. I think another part of this is, yes, are there mutations to what we're seeing? If this is a biological warfare agent, and I believe it is, I do believe you're going to see different mutations. Can I prove that? No. But, you know, look, I don't have to be a carpenter to know that if I take a ball-peen hammer and smack my hand with a hammer, it's going to hurt. Okay? Some things just make sense. So, all right. But getting back to the foundational aspect of this, the Cloward and Piven strategy. Have you ever seen, and I'll ask you this, have you ever seen a better, more effective vehicle? Oh, hey, you know what? They tried this, the Cloward Piven strategy, by keeping the southern border open, welcoming with open arms the millions of illegals into this country. That's Cloward. Flood the system. That's the tactic. Flood the system. That's Cloward and Piven in action. We often talk about it in theory, but that's in action. How about the healthcare industry? This is kind of a twofer, because not only are you flooding the healthcare system, but you're also flooding the healthcare network as well. The system itself, but bringing in a lot of people, or having a lot of people using a lot of resources. And oh, by the way, it is squarely on the lap of Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru, Obama, where the national stockpiles were not replenished after various issues, Katrina and so on. As I near the bottom of the hour break, what I want to just reaffirm with you is what we're seeing is real. What we're seeing is a game changer, I believe, based on my conversations with people in the alternative media or in the new media, the real media. I believe that we're seeing the pulling out of a lot of stops and as this end game scenario, the plans of the globalists come true, or at least their attempts to bring us down are coming to pass. You're listening to the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. We won't be silenced. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, Monday, April 6, 2020. The plan, it appears, based on my investigation, my research, some proprietary information given to me or information given to me remains proprietary, is the fact that we are looking at this push for this Ubermensch. Now, Russ Dizdar talks about the Ubermensch, the superior man, the eugenics program that's been in play forever, the culling of the herd, so to speak, getting rid of those that are not useful to the globalist operation. Those are the Untermensch. And that, of course, goes back to Nietzsche and Hitler you're seeing this push toward depopulation of the planet. Georgia Guidestones, of course. Let that be your guide. The Deagle Report, we're seeing it. They've told us what they're going to do. They've said that they're going to do this, and they're doing it right now. Now, we have to fight back. We have to do two things, a number of things. Number one, we have to get informed. And I'm not talking about the information out there that's baseless. I'm talking about information that can be both qualified and quantified. I'm talking about information that's reliable. Don't think for one second that what we're seeing here is some sort of smokescreen to round up the global elite pedophile criminals. That there's something happening behind the scenes in this respect. Oh, there are things happening behind the scenes. Believe me, just not that. Don't fall for the social media memes about, well, the hospital ships are really prisons, or the hospital ships are insert whatever here, okay? No. Well-researched, well-authenticated information. That's what we need to lead off with. That's why I like John Moore, by the way, because we both deal in evidence. We both deal in information that can be, again, qualified and quantified, and verified. So that's what we're looking at. But understand this. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Now, in some parts of this, you've got to make logical and reasonable leaps of logic. Now, that doesn't mean you abandon all of your senses. Not in the least. You have to adhere to logic, of course. And by the way, while we're doing this, we still have to live our lives. We don't abandon everything and say, well, I'm just going to sit and watch Netflix or TV or YouTube for, the 2 weeks or whatever while things are fleeing past us. That's the wrong thing. Now is not the time to stand down. And that's, I've heard this before, much through Trust the Plan. Well, wait a second. What do I trust? Are we sure people are being arrested? Where's the proof of that? No. I would urge you to think bigger and be open-minded, but not to the extent that your mind is so open that your brains fall out of your cranium. Okay, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Don't say, hey, trust, don't worry, things are happening in the background. You know, this is really a smokescreen. People want you in your houses. Why? Because there are operations out there. They're rescuing children, and they're rescuing, you know, 2,000 children from underground tunnels, and they're rounding up these elite pedophiles, Epstein and such. Now, there's some truth to that, obviously. President Trump has waged war on the pedophiles and the human traffickers. We've seen that through his orders. We've seen that through his actions. But again, in every lie, there seems to be a morsel of truth. But do not accept the stand down orders, you know, people saying, well, hey, enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. And they sit you in front of a TV that has nothing on it, or a movie screen that there's nothing playing. What show am I supposed to be enjoying? I don't see the arrests in mass being made. Do you? This is not the time to stand down. And this is not the time to stop America, the world, but America specifically in the West in general, in more of a general terms. You cannot stop business operations and commerce. You can't turn it on and off like a light switch and expect, you know, turn it off and it's fine. You turn it back on and the lights come on and they're as bright as they were before. Not going to happen. You're going to see lasting damage from this. You're going to see food supply disruptions. You're going to see disruptions of products, things that you ordinarily would be able to get pre-COVID, BC before COVID, AC after COVID. They won't be there. You're going to see people starving. You're going to see things that you've never seen or thought you would see in your life happen over the next 6 to 9 months, 12 months. You're going to see talk about postponing an election. Are all of these things, you know, people have asked me, well, what's the reason behind this? Does there have to be any one reason? There's the cause, there's the effect, but there's also in between the exploitation of opportunities that the issue presents. None of these things are mutually exclusive by themselves. It doesn't have to be, well, we launched this virus in order to do X and X only. Because there are supporters of the communist doctrine, of the one world doctrine, that will exploit various aspects of that. So you've got multiple people with multiple agendas, essentially looking to do the same things, just taking different paths, creating an overwhelming duress, system duress, or duress on our system, Cloward Piven. You've got the chaos that everything is presenting. This is presenting, and the actions of the people behind this. You're going to see chaos in the streets. We're already getting reports of stores that have been shuttered or businesses that have been shuttered. You think they're just sitting there and people are just, you know, they've got their hands off? No, of course not. You're seeing burglaries on the rise. You're seeing social tensions rise. Believe me, social tensions are rising. But we have to, in addition to everything else, we have to live our lives as well. We have to take care of business. We have to take care of our business. And I would urge everyone, make sure if you're the head of your household, if you're the man of the family, I would urge you to take care of business while you still can. Make sure, and another thing real quick, you know, look, I get emails all the time, like, you know, I guess I'm screwed. I'm done. I'm screwed. I don't have any food in my pan. I don't have any long-term storable food. You don't need that right now. If you are at zero or even below zero in terms of your preps, when you go to the store, and yes, send somebody to the store if you're immunocompromised or whatever, use your head, use your heads, buy something extra, buy an extra can or two. It doesn't cost, you don't have to break your wallet. No, just start now, because this is not going to end next week. This is not going to end in 2 weeks. There are people that don't want this to end. While you're taking care of business, I want you to think about something. You know, check your wallet, because it's not surprising. It wouldn't surprise me if you've got two or three high interest credit cards in your wallet right now. It just wouldn't. It happens. So why not do something about it? Why not pay them off with a credit card consolidation loan from my friends at Lightstream.com? Because again, we have to keep living. We got to keep taking care of business. Take care of business. Do it this way. This is a smart thing to do. Lightstream, what they do, they believe that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. And that's exactly why they or what they deliver. You can quickly roll balances from multiple credit cards into one single monthly loan payment. You can get a low fixed interest rate and free up more money in your monthly budget there. Use that money to go and buy some preps. Say goodbye to credit card bills and take even more control of your money. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates from just 5.95% APR with autopay, and there are absolutely no fees. You can even get your money the same day as you apply. I've worked with a couple of people that I know that are close to me that have done very well with Lightstream, saved a lot of money. Our household has saved money through Lightstream. One testimonial that was sent to me: I heard about Lightstream through your show and was able to look on their website, access their website, and get very precise information when I needed it. It was so easy. It was quick. I had everything done in one day. I received my consolidation money, I received the consolidation the next day, and I'm now saving over $300 per month on my credit card payments. Thank you, Karen. So here's what you need to do. Apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. Let me spell everything out for you. It is LightStream.com/Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. Please do that, and I want to thank my friends at Lightstream. I'm going to bring John Moore on right now, and I appreciate your patience and his patience, as whatever problems that there were got resolved with respect to the communications. He is joining me by audio. And here's, I'm going to get his take on this. This is, This is from Bill Gates. And by the way, who in the hell elected Bill Gates as king of the universe? You know, since when? I mean, Bill Gates introducing viruses to the world since Windows 95, right? Or Windows 3.1. Did I read that as a meme somewhere? I don't know. But who in the hell, who appointed him as, you know, vaccine kingmaker? King of vaccines, just because he's got a lot of money. I mean, seriously, does he have a? I just want to know who the hell is he. But I'm going to get John Moore's take on this. This is a 3-minute video. I'm going to credit Daily Caller, DC Shorts for this video. This is Bill Gates talking about vaccines. And by the way, you think that there's going to be a vaccine for COVID-19 or the Wuhan virus or the Communist Chinese Party Wuhan virus? You think so? Given the mutations, even the normal mutations of a coronavirus or a flu-like virus. Hey, by the way, how many strains of the flu were out there last year? And did the vaccine, did they get them all? No. Did they get it right? Maybe in the percentage of the cases. But at what cost? What's in the vaccines? Did you ever look at the pamphlet? Were you ever shown a pamphlet of what's in the flu vaccines? But Bill never met a vaccine I didn't like or didn't own. Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates, listen to this, watch this. If you're watching, watch this. If you're listening, just listen to this. But here it is, Bill Gates.
It is fair to say things won't go back to truly normal until we have a vaccine that we've gotten out to basically the entire world.
America's staring at another grim week. New cases and deaths will spike again. Without a vaccine, social distancing remains key, because only the virus can predict its course.
I think things are going to be permanently changed coming out of this until we get to a vaccine and we can fully vanquish this. We're not going to see a V-shaped recovery or a quick snapback. Absent the ability to get a highly effective drug in the hands of doctors that can mitigate the risk.
We're looking at a year probably, or a year to a little bit more than a year, for the development of vaccine. Although I have to tell you, we are working very hard with industry and manufacturers to try to accelerate
that
timetable.
That's a long time. So you're saying best case scenario, next April?
I think that's the best case scenario at this point, although we're really pushing hard to bring it sooner to the American people.
The race for the vaccine is the one that has been touted in the most kind of like nationalistic terms, both in the United States and China, as sort of like an arms race. But you're also seeing a huge investment in vaccine research from the nonprofit sector. Historically, vaccines have not been big money makers for the big drug companies. So it tends to be driven by
the
nonprofit sector.
Will China come up with the vaccine for this before America? That's another question.
And will they be honest about it if they do?
You can start to see how the story ends, right? They will have a vaccine. Will it be 12 months or 14 months or 18 months?
It's still very open-ended up to the point where there's a vaccine.
Right, you can stop that, Eric.
That's widely
vaccine. Hey, you need this vaccine. Don't think for one moment you're not going to see some sort of identification. Have you had the vaccine? Mine, wear this armband or wear this badge reminiscent of the Holocaust. Or, hey, even better, we've got this indelible tattoo. You can't see it. It's on your forehead. No, you can't see it. Oh, and you want to work? You want to get back to work? You want to work with the public? You better have that tattoo. You better have that armband. You better have that badge. Or you're not going to be able to. And the social ostracizing people for not having, for not accepting the vaccine. Think about that. Your neighbors turning you in. He didn't get the vaccine. She didn't get the vaccine. Your neighbors are already turning you in right now if you got three people in your back freaking yard. Just wait to see how this is going to turn out. Again, think bigger. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. The Liberty Man himself. He's got his own show, by the way. Go to libertyman.com. Program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. Not on YouTube, not anywhere else. HagmanReportLive.com. There you're going to find the link to John's program, link to his website, the link to John, his smiling face, and everything else. John, how you doing?
I'm doing outstanding, Doug. How about yourself?
Just marvelous. Boy, I almost said that.
All
naughty.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Doug, the media, mass media and alternative media has basically been taken over by this matter. There's no more professional sports. We don't care who's sleeping with who in Hollywood anymore. All we care about is COVID-19.
By the way, should we be, is that where we should be? I'm curious. What the hell? You can't even watch a baseball game. My grandchildren can't go out and play, T-ball, softball, little league, whatever, you know. So what should, I mean, we are so consumed by this, and I almost feel, embarrassed to even have to talk about this. Not embarrassed, but, you know, there's so much to talk about. There's so many other things, but man, this has just changed our way of life. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It has. And there's been some articles published about what happened with previous quarantines and contagious diseases, where a household would be quarantined, but it'd be very likely that back in the teens and 20s and maybe the 30s, a child would be walking to school and walk past several homes that were marked as being quarantined. We didn't shut down the whole country. We quarantined the people that needed to be quarantined. And we protected the people that need to be protected from a contagious virus, contagious disease. Or in the case of measles, which now, you know, 6 months ago, Doug, they treated measles as if it was as bad as this COVID-19 and was a national crisis. If 20 people in a community got measles, or when you and I were children, the mothers had measles parties to make sure their child got the measles and got sick and got over it, and so they could go on with their life. So I'm advocating several things. First of all, people use common sense when it comes to staying healthy, but people have a lot of discretionary time right now. You have things at your website that will be educational and informative. I have educational articles and videos at my website that will be educational and informative. We've got all this discretionary time that typically active adults simply do not have. So let's make good use of that time, educating ourselves, improving skills, improving whatever equipment we've got, making sure that, I'll give a very crystal clear example. Any electronic device that uses batteries, and if you're not using it, remove the batteries. Damage from batteries can be expensive or time-consuming, or actually destroy the piece of equipment. So motor vehicle maintenance, maybe you've been putting off getting cleaning the battery terminals, checking the tire pressure. Take care of all those little things that get pushed aside because we have such busy lives. And keep in mind, you know, many of us talk show hosts, myself and you and Steve Quayle and Dave Hodges, we all know each other. And we talk privately and we do shows together. And the matter of the communist Chinese taking advantage of this to possibly do a Red Dawn invasion, that's on the table. To ignore it would be foolhardy. And of course it's on the table. The Chinese know that the 21st century is their century. And we hear a lot about racism these days, especially since Hussein Obama got elected. But, Doug, for listeners who don't know it, you don't know what racism is until you've been around Chinese. They know that they're most beautiful, the most handsome, the most athletic, the most intelligent people on the planet, and they're not willing to listen to anything otherwise. And the 21st century, in their opinion, is their century to lead the world economically, politically, militarily, culturally. That's their goal, and they got all the pieces in place, Doug, to do it, to colonize Central Africa. My friend, Command Sergeant Major Dan Page, spent a year in Central Africa documenting what the communist Chinese are doing in Central Africa, between the Sahara and South Africa, which we already got South Africa. Building a highway between China and Africa and a causeway across the Red Sea, which is in the planning stages. Right now, it takes another 4 or 5 days to drive around the Red Sea and get back down into Africa. And South America and Latin America is a heavy Chinese presence. It'd be foolhardy to ignore what the Chinese are doing and what they've stated in their own speeches to their own people. You've probably read the speech of the top Chinese military man to his own people. It's the translation's at my website. Have you had my friend Jeff Nyquist on with you yet?
No, and if you can help me arrange that, I'd like to.
Yeah, I'd be glad to set it up. He's been on with Mike Adams, and he'd be glad to talk to you. He's personally interviewed. He's got firsthand interviews with a number of the high-level Russian communist defectors.
I'd like you to bring him on if you can, if we can arrange this next Monday, but we'll talk off air about that. But okay. You know,
right.
Cause I think that'd be great, but go ahead, sir. Continue.
Well, and let's not let get lost in the shuffle, the spiritual nature of this. Ultimately, it is a spiritual war. And the beginning point for preparedness, the beginning point for understanding, the beginning point for comprehension is to understand the spiritual nature of what we're dealing with. If you don't get that, you're lost. You're hopelessly lost. You know, you and I as talk show hosts, it's not our job to tell people what their spiritual belief should be, but I believe we have a responsibility to let them know that that's important and they need to take care of it. They need to incorporate their spiritual beliefs and become part of their daily lives. That cannot be ignored, and ignore it if you ignore it at your peril. So let's talk a little bit about mitigation. I think it is reasonable for people who have a compromised immune system, which is probably half our listeners. Almost everybody who's died has had high blood pressure, hypertension. That's almost ubiquitous, not quite, but close to it. Many other people have compromised immune systems. We have a very sick society, Doug, and that's not a secret. That is not a secret at all. People in those situations, they need to be extra cautious. If you're a healthy adult with a strong immune system, I would say just go about your business, because you're going to be in contact with this virus. What's being done, the social distancing, the people self-quarantining, all that's going to accomplish is delay how long it is before you're exposed to it. It won't stop you from being exposed unless you remain on permanent quarantine. It will delay when you're exposed. That's all it's going to do, and that's all it's meant to do, is to prevent the hospitals from getting everybody at once, to spread it out so that there's enough space for people that need space. So if you're a healthy adult, suck it up, go about your activities, and just be cognizant that you will get this virus and you will be sick for 2 or 3 days, like with any other flu, then you're going to be okay.
You will be exposed to it. Yeah, and I want to just kind of punch in here with this real quick. Have you noticed, John, how I played that vaccine clip? People are pushing vaccines for if you want to classify this as a flu, we can do that, okay, in terms of this example. Get the vaccine, get the vaccine. Bill Gates, my gosh, vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. Gottlieb, vaccine. This is all over the place, but the moment that because you mentioned this, you're immune compromised. The moment that anyone starts talking about zinc, about nutritional supplements, that they get blasted out of the water, so to speak. They're not allowed. There's no one pushing this building your immune system except for us in this area, in this arena, in this venue, right, on this platform. Right. So, so there's something wrong there, but go ahead, sir. You're right.
Well, people aren't going to start eating healthy and taking the correct supplements and get a strong immune system in a week or two. That it took years and years for people to compromise your immune system by eating the wrong things and not eating the right things. You're not going to suddenly get high-quality supplements and a high-quality diet and have a strong immune system in 2 or 3 weeks or even a month. You're looking at building up something that it takes many months to get out of that paradigm of a unhealthy, compromised immune system, if it can be done. If it can be done. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It should mean you should have realistic expectations. So I encourage people to do that, but on one hand, on the other, a prescription pharmaceutical product that's used to treat malaria now has a backing of more than 2,000 doctors worldwide. It appears to be having great success. It's not something that is from the tinfoil hat believers like you and I. It's from mainstream medicine, and it's being used for off-label usage with apparently great success. And over the next 10 to 14 days, I think that success will become very apparent. And the president is backing it. He's done his homework. And quite frankly, if I got this coronavirus, I would be asking a medical doctor to prescribe that for me, the anti-malarial drug, to get over this as quickly as possible, Doug.
And you're referencing hydroxychloroquine.
That one.
Hydroxychloroquine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And did you notice how at first, oh, you can't say that. In fact, there were governors that came out and said, you can't talk about that. And we're against that. And that's fake news. And matter of fact, it was labeled as fake news. And now all of a sudden, okay. So I believe when we push back with real facts, real information, authenticated, verified information like you're talking about, that they've got no choice but to say, all right, okay, yeah, you're right. And so we saw him back down on that one. That's a good example. Go ahead.
Well, it is. Health is something everybody is concerned about all the time, but it's become front and center as opposed to an afterthought. I know, Doug, if I'd kept eating the way I ate when I was 25 years old, I'd either be dead or a 250, 300-pound diabetic. There would have been no in-between, either dead or a 300-pound diabetic. I thought that if it's in a package, it must be okay to eat it because it's in a package, it's in a store. How wrong is that? thank goodness I woke up and smelled the coffee and I started eating healthy at about age 30 and got all the mercury amalgams out of my mouth, which I believe has been a great help not to have mercury in my mouth,
yep,
which ends up in your bloodstream.
Yep.
Just like you shouldn't take vaccines. Let's talk about vaccines. There's an excellent documentary. The original one is fine. There's a follow-up that's been made. Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D, that's Victor Alpha X-ray Echo Delta. It was going to be shown at the Paris Film Festival. The sponsors took so much heat from the pharmaceutical industry that they pulled it. But it's a well-done documentary with excellent evidence, evidence that is backed up by real science, that the whole paradigm of vaccination is going back to not the 19th century, but the 18th century, is flawed. It's scientifically flawed from the get-go. But it's become accepted as being the right thing to do, the healthy thing to do, the scientific thing to do. The entire concept of vaccines is flawed from the get-go. And attribution of getting rid of polio is due to a vaccine is basically wrong. It's a massive lie. Polio has been renamed. People still get polio. They still don't call it polio. But the reduction in polio has been due to improved hygiene, not due to any vaccine. A friend of mine, very dear friend, in fact, I'll be calling him to have lunch with him probably one day this week. He grew up in London. He got a polio vaccine in his right arm as a child, 8 or 10 years old. A week later, that right arm went dead, and it's been dead all his life. It just hangs there. It just hangs there. In the meantime, he's got a twin-engine pilot's license. He owns a business with about 24 employees and has more than 50 patents to his personal credit. He didn't let that slow him down, but that right arm just hangs there dead due to a vaccine. So people need to be very cautious about vaccines in general. I will never accept another vaccine of any kind for any reason, ever. But, Doug, how about you?
Sorry about that. I was slow on the switch there. No, I would never accept a vaccine. And, you know, here's the thing. If those people who believe in vaccines and believe that they would be protected from any kind of virus accept the vaccine, that's their choice, then why in the hell do they give a damn about me who remains without a vaccination if they are protected? I certainly pose no threat to them. So why the push for the vaccines? And we can't get back to normal, if ever, until there is a vaccine. I just find it really odd. I mean, I know the answer, of course, to these questions. And what about all the stuff they put in these vaccines? Okay. How about the changing of one's own DNA? Or there's something very nefarious, obviously, about vaccines. And look how, like you mentioned, Vaxxed. Look how they treated that documentary, that movie. No, you know what? And I'll tell you something. All right. Shot in the arm, as Steve Quell says, or shot in the head, either way, you're dead. But I'll tell you something. All right. I would rather die from lead poisoning than a vaccine. I'm just saying. It's just me. Go ahead.
Well, before I went to Vietnam, I received, like every troop did, what they call the overseas shot series, which I believe was 6 vaccinations. Of course, I was 19 years old, and I felt like I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof, and now I can't get the bubonic plague. And I thought this is great. I didn't know. I was so ignorant at the time. But now we know. Now we know. The package insert, which almost nobody reads it, tells what's really in these vaccines, which they use as a preservative. They use mercury. I don't believe you can get a C- in high school chemistry and not know that mercury does not belong inside human beings in the tiniest amount. It simply does not, which brings us back to having the mercury amalgams removed from your mouth. Many foods that we eat, drink, are acidic, and that acidic nature of those foods and beverages will leach the mercury out of those mercury amalgam fillings and put it into your blood, into your body.
Right.
Not good. Not right. good.
Why, you know, it almost, I don't know, when you look at the plan, this whole thing seems to me to be the beginning of the end game. I don't know if that's the proper way to describe it. You spoke about the mercury fillings, for example. You spoke about vaccines. You spoke, you know, and what's in them. You spoke about a lot of things here. So if you apply it to today, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, the global elitists, if you will, the morons out there who believe that they're self-appointed kings, they're the elite, they're the all-knowing, the knowledgeable ones, the followers of these, the god of Moloch and small g god Moloch and such, you know, I just think, look, John, I see this as being like their final push or the beginning of their final push. I don't know, but it certainly feels that way to me.
It's not really a massive leap of faith to believe that's possible. And I concur. The world we live in that we occupied 3 months ago, I'm not sure that world will ever exist in exactly the same way it did 3 or 4 months ago. The world is not the end of the world. It is the world. It's the end of the world that we knew 3 or 4 months ago. I want to address a little bit about technology and all this concern about the mark of the beast and chips and risk and so forth. Technology is already way past that. As you know, Doug, I was on my first Caribbean cruise in February. When I was getting off the ship back, returning to the United States, they said, get your passport ready. You're going through U.S. Customs. Get your passport ready. Have it handy. So there's about, whatever it was, 4,000 or 5,000 people on the ship, and they had about 20 customs desks where 20 different custom clerks could be standing. They were all empty. Instead, as we approached the desk, they had 20 custom clerks with small cameras set up on tripods and a space for your feet to stand in front of the camera. And the custom agent said, stand here, which I did. I smiled. I looked at the camera, and he looked at his little electronic device in his hand. He said, okay, you're good to go. He didn't care if I had a passport or not, Doug. It didn't matter. The technology with facial identification, they have my passport photograph in the system. And all he did was match my photograph to the one that was in the system, and you're good to go. That's all it took. I stood there for, the whole process took maybe 15 or 20 seconds. That's it. Now, the same technology would apply to anything else that they want. If they want to know if you got a vaccine, stand in front of the camera. They'll know in 15 seconds if you got the vaccine or not. You don't need an armband. You don't need a chip in the forehead. You don't need a chip in the right hand. You stand there for 15 seconds, and they'll know that you have or do not have the vaccine.
Yes. Technocracy, as it would apply here, absolutely. What would be the modality, method? How would they know if you're not somehow marked? How would they know? In other words, how can they be sure? Maybe that's a better question.
First of all, it's almost impossible to exist as an adult in this country without a government issued photo ID. It can be done. I'm sure the Amish do it, but it's a tiny percentage of adults in this country who do not have a government-issued photo ID. So the government has all our photos for all intents and purposes. And when you accept the vaccine, that will be entered into the system. And that's it. Once it's in the system, it's in the system. Once that photo's in the system, it's in the system. Once you get the vaccine, it's in the system. And that's where you don't need to go any farther than that.
Right.
That's far enough.
Okay. Yeah, and about the mark of the beast, by the way, I've gotten so many emails about this. I believe that that would be more encompassing. In other words, you would have to abandon all allegiance, belief in Jesus Christ, and align yourself with Satan. Essentially, you'd have to do that willingly and say, you know, yes, I'm willing, because you can't be fooled into the mark of the beast. You just can't be fooled into that. You can be fooled into the infrastructure, but not at that moment when you have to give your allegiance to Satan, you know, the Antichrist. Go ahead.
Right. Well, Doug, when Officer Friendly approaches you on the street and Officer Friendly has a body cam, that body cam is feeding information directly into the police headquarters, which is connected to everything else. They'll know instantly if there is a warrant out for your arrest or, in the future, if you've had the coronavirus vaccine. They'll know instantly.
Yeah.
And that's the system we have got is seamless, and everything's connected to everything else. So people are anguishing over things that quite frankly, don't matter anymore.
Unless you're, we're right. Past that.
Right. Unless you're an Amish individual, or maybe you live on an Indian reservation, although I'm sure most American Indians have a government-issued photo ID, the Amish has come to mind as probably one of the largest identifiable groups of people who do not participate in this system that I'm aware of. There may be, if there's another large group of, and we're looking at how many tens of thousands of Amish people there are in this country, but if there's another large group that's identifiable, I'm not sure who that would be. So get over it.
Well, do we practice?
We're in the system.
So what happened? Yeah, no, I agree with you on that, but what happens when they come to your door, or when they say, all right, so we developed this vaccine and for this Communist Chinese Party coronavirus, Wuhan virus. So report down to your local whatever, hospital, doctor's office, get your vaccine. Or they come to your, and then let's say you don't do that, they come to your door. I guess at what point do we exercise civil disobedience with respect to this? Because as you said, you're not right. Getting it. I ain't getting it. And I'll tell you what, none of my family are getting it. And, that's just the way it is. So, you know, to all you listeners out there who are listening for the wrong reasons, you're going to have a fight on your hands. But at what point do we exercise social disobedience? When is it prudent to do that? Maybe to save lives, maybe we should do that now. Say, hey, you know what? Whatever you're planning, don't do that. I mean, what do we do?
Well, it's going to be, first of all, it's going to be a matter of personal preference and a personal decision. Right now, they've already done this with Missourians. Missourians have the option of getting a driver's license that has or does not have real ID parts of that driver's license. And if Missourians do not get the real ID parts on their driver's license, they won't be able to enter a federal courthouse, a military base, fly on a commercial airline, or be on a jury in a federal case. So that's what they can deny things that the federal government has control over. And as long as the vaccine only has those restrictions, I'll deal with it. I won't be on a federal jury. I won't go on a military base. I won't fly on a commercial airline. And thank you very much. I'll make other arrangements. If they go to the point of using physical force, then I will have to deal with that when it happens. And of course, I'm pretty much ready to deal with that 24/7 anyway, as I'm sure you are, Doug. I don't anticipate that being the case. That could change. But I really don't anticipate our government, especially if Donald Trump is president, using a threat of physical violence to force people to get this vaccination. I that's beyond the pale, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think he'd allow that.
That could change, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. But I just, right now, I just see such a divide. You know, we are so divided as a nation, but I see the divide even, becoming more exacerbated, John, when we have, when this discussion is raised. Oh, family member one says, oh, you know, we quit listening to the conspiracy nonsense out there and get a vaccine and like it, you know, and because you're doing something not just for yourself, but for the entire, you know, the community. We are truly in an information war, as has been said many times. I mean, the propaganda out there is so thick and so heavy. It's just incredible. People need to be.
Well, a lot of things are so counterintuitive.
Yeah.
You know, when I say that the child in school does not have the measles vaccine poses a threat to the children who do have it.
Yeah. How does that
how
work?
Can it be?
Yeah. Explain
how
that
can
to
it
me.
Be?
Yeah.
How can it be?
It can't.
What's it? Yeah. No, it can't. Of course it can't. And I don't know how anybody with a IQ above room temperature could believe that, but apparently people do. Either if the vaccine works, it's not a threat. If it doesn't, then what's the point of getting it anyway? So.
Good point. I like that.
You know?
Well, it could work. You know, it might work, you know, with the flu. It's you know. Yeah. How many people out there, you know, got the flu vaccine last year and got the flu anyway, whether it was due to the vaccine or it was the wrong strain? I mean,
we may never know the answer to this question, but how many people getting COVID-19 have had a flu shot? How many, or maybe more appropriately, how many people dying from COVID-19 have had a flu shot?
That's a good point.
We may never know the answer to that. It's probably, since most Americans, especially older Americans, get flu shots every year, it's probably going to be the majority. So we need a control group. Once again, going back to the Amish. The Amish don't get flu shots. So it would be interesting to see if any Amish people have both got the COVID-19 and died from it. I suspect that the Amish, the ones I've known, and we have a lot of Amish in Missouri, and we've had more than 100 Amish families move to Missouri from Pennsylvania in one day, abandoning some of the most productive agricultural farmland on the planet, by the way. Those Pennsylvania farms are incredibly rich.
Is it relevant to ask why? Is it relevant to ask why they moved? Because,
they may not have telephones, but they're smart, educated, bilingual people. They all speak German at home. They're educated, smart people, and they know what's coming. They know that much of the East Coast will be underwater before the grandchildren are old enough to get married. So they abandoned the richest farmland on the planet to come to Missouri, which is not known for the richest farmland on the planet, but it's a safe area. That's why they came here. Different topic for a different day. But need a control group. If you want to compare different things, you need a control group. And the best control group to make this comparison, I believe, would be the Amish, because almost none of them get any vaccination for any reason. The unfortunate ones that do, their children sometimes get autism, but there's almost no autism in the Amish community. It simply is non-existent, except for those unfortunate children who do get vaccinated, and there are some within the Amish community. So it's an excellent control group for any number of things when it comes to these matters. And, of course, you know, Amish people interact. They have retail establishments. They interact with the community. Of course, they're going to be exposed to this virus like everybody else. Maybe not as quickly, but they'll be exposed. So it'll be interesting to see within the Amish community how many Amish people die from this virus as compared to the general population, most of whom over age 60 do get the flu vaccination every year.
Right. It's going to be interesting, and I think we have to keep our eyes on that. By the way, Lady the Studio Dog 5 years ago. 5.5 years ago is where I got her from an Amish family. Not too crazy about the way they handle their animals, but, anyway, yeah, so very good points. Maybe we all should become Amish. How do we do that? Is there an application process somewhere?
Well, they don't actively recruit. Now my community, there's a store run by, I think they're Mennonites, which is kind of the Amish light I guess you could call it. have most of the same spiritual beliefs, and they dress the same, but they do own motor vehicles. And there's a store that they operate in my community, and there's a African American woman who is part of that community, which surprised me at first because I didn't know that there was any African Americans within the Mennonite or Amish community, but apparently there is. They're productive people. They're healthy people. They have some strange beliefs compared to mainstream America, but they keep to their own, and they own nice real estate. They have great businesses. They have bank accounts, and almost none of them paid anything to the Internal Revenue Service.
How long do you think that, given this environment that we're in today, this final push, or this, I shouldn't say final, this renewed push by the global elite, how long are they going to tolerate communities like that? Because the Amish, that's a religious sect. So that's constitutionally protected. So my question is, what happens if we adhere to certain beliefs of the Amish in terms of the social stuff and develop our own groups? You know, I guess, first of all, how long is the federal government going to put up with the Amish? Are they going to go by way of the Native Americans, perhaps? Or, you know, I'm just curious.
Well, we would be speculating, of course, but it's fun to speculate. As long as we have a constitutional republic, I think they'll be fine. If we go the route of tyranny and losing our constitutional republic, then, of course, they would be at risk. Even under those circumstances, as long as they weren't presenting any threat to the powers that be, they keep to themselves and aren't posing any threat to the powers that be, they'll probably be left alone as a matter of being the easiest thing to do. That's happened. The Chinese have left alone minorities until they pose a threat, for the most part.
That's true. We can look over.
Unless they got something they want.
That's the other thing, too. And with this recent series of events, we're seeing disruptions or likely disruptions of the food supply chain. You know, it was interesting, John, speaking about the Amish. They grow their own food, of course. But for the most part, now that you look at Vermont, I don't know whether you saw this, but Walmart in Vermont roped off the seed section in their store, saying, "Well, this is a non-essential product. We can't, we can't sell you, the consumer, seeds to grow your own food." To me, I mean, that doesn't even make any sense.
There'll be pushback on that. I bet those ropes are down before the end of the day today.
Well, I hope so.
The pushback on that, there's no logical or reasonable reason for that to be.
And just like the other thing too, you've got this, it seems like what's most vulnerable out there, an argument can be made, I guess, for, you know, religious assembly. I understand the assembly part, where, you know, there's a situation, involving, contamination and such. But isn't it interesting, John, that this is going after our First Amendment rights to assemble? This is going after our Second Amendment rights because, oh, by the way, gun shops are not essential businesses. And you want to buy ammo? Not really. And I don't know whether you saw this last month, introduced tax on ammunition.
California?
No, actually, this was introduced in Congress. It was more than a tax.
Hank
Johnson. He's, you know, the Guam is going to tip over lunatic. But the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the food supply, the food disruption, they're going after all of these liberties that we, these freedoms that we should enjoy, and they're in the sights. These are in the sights. They're sights, I should say.
Right, right. Well, once again, there is some issue with having having or not having an election the first Tuesday in November. That actually is a possibility that may not happen. I hope it doesn't take place that they'll postpone the election. That would be a disaster. But assuming the election moves forward as scheduled, I think there's a high likelihood that the Republicans will take control of the House of Representatives again, and the president will move forward with his agenda. And the Socialist, Communist, Democrats, Muslims, as I call them, that coalition, they're finished for a generation. Virus or no virus. Well, as the president keeps appointing conservative federal judges, and he dismantles all the regulations that have hampered American business for decades, not even, for two Bushes, one Clinton, and one Hussein Obama, very strangling government regulations that have strangled American businesses and factories. So we do have a bright future ahead of us, I believe, if and when we can get past this virus matter and get back to work. That's what I want to see happen, and that's what the president wants to see happen. This virus is going to put us down. It's going to delay us. It'll set us back, but we will bounce back, and there'll be things to deal with, like the mounting federal debt. That needs to be dealt with, and it won't be easy.
Yes.
It won't be easy.
And how do we do that? You know, there's a lot of talk, too. And I see this, and we have to separate the authentic stuff from the garbage stuff. I see because of NESARA, the National Economic Stability and Recovery Act, President Trump has become the head of the Fed now. And, it's
real. NESARA is a fantasy. NESARA is a fantasy.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've read enough of that years ago. It's people hold hope, and hope is wonderful, but it's baseless hope. NESARA is a fantasy that's been perpetrated on people, just like QAnon says 80,000 sealed indictments exist.
Well, it's 160,000 now, but yeah.
Okay. Oh, 160. Yeah, right. Well, I've been on a first name basis with U.S. attorneys, and probably you have too, and federal judges and their clerks. That amount of indictments would shut down the system for years if they were acted on, if they existed, which they don't.
No.
They don't. Sealed indictments have always been around, and are around here and there by the dozens, maybe 100 or two here and there, but not tens of thousands. That's a fantasy. But once again, people have hope, they have belief, they don't know the system, they don't understand the system. And when you've been part of it like I have and you have, you understand the system has limits and what it can do and what it can't do.
And by the way, sealed docket entries do not equal sealed indictments. There's a lot of reasons that docket entries can be sealed, and it doesn't have to do anything with indictments. And you could have one case with 12, 14 different sealed docket numbers. People are this hopium that exists among people, and especially what I would call the cultish, and I don't know how else to describe it, this cultish embracing of do nothing.
It's ignorance, Doug. It's ignorance, Doug. Now I'll give you a good example. There's probably tens of thousands of Americans who believe that because a man and a woman in the 1970s in Delaware incorporated the United States of America Incorporated, and they believe that represents the federal government of the United States. Now, Doug, you have Secretary of State in Pennsylvania, where you are, in charge of corporations. And Doug Hagman could incorporate the United States of America Incorporated in your state capital if nobody else has done it before you. I could do the same thing in Missouri. I go to my Secretary of State's office, and I can incorporate the United States of America Incorporated if I chose to, as long as nobody else has done it before me. I could also incorporate the Central Intelligence Agency Incorporated or the Federal Bureau of Investigation Incorporated or anything I want, as long as nobody else has done it before me. That's the way our system works. In fact, Doug, I would do corporations, and this before computers. Back in the 80s, I would do an incorporation for a client in a law firm on my lunch break and still have time to eat my sandwich and not be hurried. That's how quick and easy it is.
And charging $200 at the time. Yeah, exactly. No,
well, the lawyer charged it that much, and he paid me $50.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the system. You know, the paralegal does the work, and the lawyer takes the money. But out of ignorance, people see this stuff, and they think this is the way it is. Well, it's not the way it is. Somebody incorporate Internal Revenue Service in Puerto Rico at some point, and people think that represents the federal agency, the Internal Revenue Service. No. It's just somebody incorporated a private corporation with the name Internal Revenue Service. That's all that is. And I could do the same thing in Missouri. If nobody's incorporated Internal Revenue Service incorporated in Missouri, I can do that tomorrow or today. If nobody else has done it before me.
Well, I can see the comments coming, John. I know exactly what you're saying, but I can see the comments coming.
That's our system.
It is our system. And, you're right.
And that's the way it works. And I've been part of the system since 1972 when I graduated as a paralegal. So I know how the system works. I've been part of the system. I've engaged in the system. I'm on a first-name basis with many people in the system. I ran for U.S. Congress in the 96th cycle. So I know very well firsthand how the system works because I was paid and still am being paid, and when I have a client, to do these things on behalf of my clients, do incorporations, and contact the Secretary of State and find out. All you got to do is find out, is the name available? That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Yep. I could incorporate Hagman Investigations Incorporated tomorrow morning in Missouri if nobody else has done it.
Right. I'd come after you, but, you know, I'd be a little bit miffed at you.
Well, it still wouldn't change the fact that I can do it.
I know.
So that's our system. And people mean well. You know, they may be working as a dentist or an accountant, or maybe they're a carpenter or whatever they might be. And they see this evidence, but they don't know what they're looking at. They don't know what they're looking at.
And it's sad out because of ignorance, people are suffering. If people are suffering. You know, we're seeing a lot of misinformation and disinformation. No, folks, you're not living under maritime law. No, you're not living under, British Accreditation Registry, for bar lawyers. You're not looking at having a postmaster general of the world. No, you're not looking at a Title IV flag because it has gold fringe on it as being maritime law. No, you're not. You know, no, prisons are not, and courthouses are not dry dock vessels. You know, I mean, come on, folks. Flippin' sense. Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember 25 years ago, Doug, when this whole common law jury thing was going all over the country?
Oh.
You remember that?
Yeah.
All over the United States, good, well-meaning people who considered themselves patriots, and they were patriots. They were getting together and creating their own common law juries and issuing orders.
Yeah.
And I was approached by these people. I met some. I knew them, and here's what I told them. I said the following. When your county sheriff will enforce an order issued by your common law court, then it's real. Up until that point, it's just a fantasy.
Precisely.
And, of course, no elected sheriff in any of the 3,000-plus counties in the United States of America is going to act on any order issued by a common law jury. That's not going to happen. That's a fantasy. Of course, you could appoint your own. You can appoint your own sheriff, but then you're really getting into trouble.
I was just going to say that. I was going to say, but what's to stop you from doing that? And look, you know, folks, like everything else, there is a granule of truth in the concept, in theory, in the Constitution, okay? But when you start acting on these kind of fantasies, just ask a guy who's been in jail in two different states or was in jail for two different states when he could have been out on bond. Yeah, I mean, and people know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to name the name, but the bottom line is when you act on beliefs that are erroneous, it doesn't work. It doesn't work well. It doesn't work out well. So anyway, I digressed. Took you off the subject.
Well, there's a reason to talk about these things because these things are still going to be, especially when we're dealing with what we're dealing with right now, this virus deal, there's going to be people coming out of the woodwork with the same erroneous information, claiming this, claiming that, and having innocent, well-meaning people believe it.
Yeah.
Now, this whole United States of America is a corporation. There's thousands. I have a personal friend. He was appointed the acting governor of Missouri by this group, and he asked me to be in charge of the state police, I think it was. So I looked into this, and I reported back to him what I just told everybody here about the whole thing of being a fantasy. He didn't want to hear it. He did not want it. He was so caught up in this thing being real that he would rejected the real evidence. And people will do this. They were caught up in a belief system, and they will reject real evidence that provides what they need to make a logical, reasonable decision. And I feel sad. I feel sorry for him. But you and I, being who we are, Doug, we need to inform people of the real deal so they don't fall into these traps, which can cost them time, cost them money, maybe even cost them their liberty.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, John, I don't know whether you caught this or not when you were trying to connect, but I've been dealing with I've been getting emails saying, hey, Doug, you know, look, you're missing the boat. What's really happening with this Wuhan virus is the fact that this is a cover because the white hats, the good guys that are out arresting the elite pedophile people that have been torturing children for ages. Look, we know the Epsteins. We know that they exist. But this is not a cover for that. And to think otherwise, my goodness.
There's no evidence. There is no evidence. That evidence doesn't exist.
No, of course not. And these fantasy groups, and I'm going to name one by name, the Pentagon Pedophile Task Force, if you believe that exists in any fashion, then, man, what is wrong with you, I ask? And the reason I say that is because that is taking away from legitimate groups like Vets for Child Rescue and Russ Dizdar's groups that we contribute to through our coffee proceeds that's ruining, or not ruining, but affecting the reputation. When I say reputations, when we go out and have boots on the ground, we are actively working with law enforcement against the child sex trafficking and human trafficking. It makes us look like a bunch of Looney Tunes. Are you part of that? No, of course not. We're not part of that. So anyway, I got that off my chest.
Well, okay. Well, along the same lines, there's been some things happening that really did happen that may lead people to believe that certain things are taking place. Going back to the standoff at Waco, Texas, we had Janet Reno, nicknamed Butch Reno, as they were attacking this church, and it was not a compound. A compound has to have a wall or a fence, by the way, so it was not a compound. As they were attacking this church, the Attorney General of the United States said, we did it to save the children. Alleging pedophilia on the part of David Koresh.
Right. How'd that work out?
Well, unless the illegal activity takes place on federal property, there's no jurisdiction. The FBI, the federal government, has no jurisdiction to intervene. Our state lines are being crossed. That would give them jurisdiction. But they had no jurisdiction if that activity was taking place, which the local sheriff had already determined it was not taking place. They had done a thorough investigation. So that was an outright lie, that they were doing it to protect these children from David Koresh, because they simply had no authority to do so. Even if David was doing that, there was no federal crime being violated. Pedophilia is not a federal crime unless they can get jurisdiction by crossing state lines or having the activity take place on a federal, federally owned land, something like that, some kind of connection to give them jurisdiction.
Thank you. Folks, I hope everyone heard. Oh, thank you. Now, yes, correct. I mean, murder.
So the Pentagon has no authority to do anything with pedophilia unless it takes place on a military base. Other than that, it would be FBI jurisdiction. Yeah, and the only way they can get a jurisdiction is if state lines are crossed or it takes place on federal property, money's crossing state lines. There has to be a hook to give the FBI jurisdiction to act on pedophilia.
And John, in case you don't know what I'm talking about too, about this, there's social networking. I mean, 80, 100,000, 200,000 people applauding, celebrating the fact that, listen to this, 2,100 children late last year were rescued from deep underground military-based tunnels in California. 22,100 children who were being abused by the Pentagon, they were rescued by the Pentagon Pedophile Task Force. Okay, I'm not making fun necessarily of the people who believe this. I don't want to do that. But what I'm saying is, people have to think of logistics, you know, too, okay, so you've got 2,100 victims. So that, how many families would that equate to? Or, what about the aftercare? What about the, you know, but not a peep in the media, not a peep in the media. So I guess, you know, all of this combined, you're right. Look, we're fighting enough disinformation. We don't need more disinformation. I don't know what got me off on that road, but anyway. So
I have several acquaintances. These are successful businessmen. One is a retired contractor. Another one owns a very successful business. They both believe that the Iraqi dinar is going to increase their wealth.
Sure, Zimbabwe bonds. Dinars and yeah,
let's, Zimbabwe bonds, right?
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
Jeez, I'll tell you. Oh man, I'll tell you.
And how otherwise intelligent, productive people get caught up in this is almost beyond me. Is some kind of deep disconnect with reality.
But you know what? Look, the situation that we're facing right now. This is my view. It's not hopeless, okay? Because we know how the story ends. We believe in God Almighty. And the situation is not hopeless, but I think where the problem comes in is people are looking for hope wherever they can. And just to grab onto that little, just to embrace that thread of hope that, oh my gosh, somebody is doing something. You know, Hillary Clinton's not in jail, but you know what? Things are happening behind the scenes. Just grab your popcorn and wait. And you know, it does a couple of things. It provides some hopium in the meantime, but it also, doesn't it, John, isn't it perhaps maybe one of the unintended consequences is to get you and I and people like us to stand down, not do anything, because I think that's what they want. Look, now's not the time to stand down. Now's the time to stand up, be counted, and say, you know what, this is BS, all right? This vaccine crap is BS. Don't tell me you're going to vax me for COVID-19, as you call it. Don't tell me that. Don't say you're going to force me to do that, because we're going to have a bad time here. But see, the people who don't want to address that fall into this hopium category.
They don't.
Yeah.
They don't. Well, I resigned myself that this thing's going to have to run its course. Nothing you and I are going to do, or never listen, is going to change it or stop it or delay it. It's going to have to run its course. And we're like that prize fighter in the ring, Doug, that get hit by left, get hit by the right, and we have to roll with those punches and stand on our feet and recover. And we have no choice. These things, the forces, very, very powerful forces at work here that we can't necessarily challenge right now anyway, that we can't do anything about right now. We're left with no choice except to maintain, stay healthy, and for the time being, go with the flow. There may be some, I can't get a haircut. My barbershop's closed. And I get a hair because the energy cleaner that I offer sale. I have to get a haircut every 2 weeks. My hair grows so fast, my fingernails grow just as fast.
Well,
John, I can't get a haircut.
Let me send Eric over to you. Okay, folks, you can see John can't see right now, but you can see this is Eric with dog shears. Okay, John, okay. I'm sporting a very shall we say warrior like. Haircut. I had hair. I don't have hair anymore. All right. Eric the tech came in this morning. Actually, it was yesterday. I tried to cut it myself with dog shears. Long story. It looks easier on YouTube. Okay. You're right. You can't get a haircut. And get out the dog shears and have a son-in-law come in and cut your hair, I guess. But you know,
I'll manage for another week or so before I start getting shaggy. But
But see, that's just it. Look at what has happened. If I would have told, now let me ask you this: if I would have said on January 1st, if we would have had the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day party or whatever, you and I would be drinking champagne, whatever, welcoming in 2020. If I would have said, hey, John, you know what? In 3 months, 4 months, you're not going to be able to go down and get a haircut. You know why? Because you're on lockdown. You're going to be on lockdown. You're not going to be able to go to the grocery store without being, without some guy with a tape measure, you know, making sure you're 6 feet away or 3 feet away or whatever it is. You're not going to be able to go, a concert. Oh, and by the way, all the sports, there ain't going to be any this year. What would you have said to me? Right. What's wrong with you? Right. You know?
I would have said, how can that happen? That's what I would have said. And how can that happen?
And here we are. And you know what? I got a feeling, John. This is just my feelings, my speculation. We haven't seen anything yet. There's more coming.
No, there's more coming. And ABC's already been caught using footage from Italy as holding it out.
It was CBS.
Footage from a CBS, New York City emergency room. There's so much massaging and manipulation of numbers. We may be at a point now where this virus, if the numbers are right, and I don't trust them, may finally be exceeding the deaths from the normal influenza that we have every year. How can you trust? I'm getting reports from people that have some pretty serious credentials that the tests they're doing aren't necessarily COVID-19 specific. And they're getting false positives, they're getting false negatives. And there's a financial incentive to have the doctors write the death certificate, giving credit to the COVID-19 so they get more money for the community. Lots of things at work here, Doug, that makes a lot of what we're hearing very untrustworthy, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we have a special graphic, thanks to Kevin. Kevin, thank you so much, Matt, and all of the Patreon members, but Kevin especially drafted. He worked a whole bunch of hours on this. Check this out. I call Fauci the garden gnome. Okay, I call him a garden gnome just because of his stature and because I don't trust a word that comes out of this guy's mouth. All right, his connections to Gates, his connections to the WHO, not the band, the organization. To me, this guy represents everything that you and I have to counter in terms of information or cannot vet, the authenticity. I don't trust a word that comes out. I don't believe anybody, John. Seriously, unless I verify it myself, or if you call me and say, I verified it, Doug, don't worry about it. I don't trust anybody hardly. You know, so we have to, and that's another thing too. Doggone it, we better get our act together. All of us, and you know, do our own research to the extent that we can and decide who we are going to listen to. Are we going to believe the CDC? Are we going to believe the World Health Organization? Are we going to believe the numbers that are coming out of the mouths of these deep staters? Or are we going to believe our own eyes? Are we going to believe our own research? That's just my view.
Well, let's not forget, Fauci was a national doctor in charge of dealing with AIDS in the 1980s.
Gee, how'd that go?
100%.
Yeah.
100% fatal communicable disease. Everybody who got it died. And Fauci did not order the tracking or quarantine of the guys who had it. So how can there be any credibility at all to this man? 100% fatal communicable disease, but they did not track or quarantine the people who had it. The man has no credibility with me whatsoever.
Now, let me ask you a question, John. So here's my question. You've got Fauci, you've got Amanda Brooks, you've got Gottlieb, you've got all of these deep state denizens that are surrounding Donald Trump. How is Donald Trump? I mean, because if I was Donald Trump, I'd take a baseball bat, or I'd just pick up Fauci and just kind of, anyway. Why is he keeping these people around?
Well, that's a good question. And there seems to be a a break between the two of these men when it comes to the anti-malaria drug being successful. That may be the breaking point right there. Whatever it takes, Fauci needs to be gone, in my opinion.
And that
environment in D.C., people who raise the level of having access to the Oval Office are typically the same people that we're concerned about. It's just that culture up there. It's that culture feeds on itself and promotes its own people. And it's difficult to break through that and get in there unless you're part of that culture, Doug. It's simply the way it is.
Yeah, that's, you know, one guy, I think maybe a lot of the expectation, or a lot of this comes from the expectation of one guy, us believing that one guy can make a difference in D.C. when in fact that deep state machinery is so entrenched and the people, you know, one guy doesn't, he can make a difference, and Donald Trump has been making a difference. But it's taken how many hundreds of years to get where we're at, and you're going to expect this to be gone in 2-3 years? You know,
It's a complete culture that is exclusive. It's an exclusive culture in Washington, D.C. It's a club. It's men and women who go to school together, work together, and know each other, and breaking through that to get to the point where you have a pass to get to the Oval Office is not easy. And I think Donald Trump has done as good as he can given the circumstances.
Exactly.
Going back to all these indictments, I think we're going to have the Assistant Attorney General Barr come out with some indictments. It's not going to be thousands. It'll be dozens, maybe.
Right. I agree.
Maybe dozens.
Yeah.
It's headed that direction. And there's going to be some shocks and surprises. I think for political reasons, they may not indict Hillary Clinton because of the impact it would have on a lot of things. But she will be dealt with behind the scenes, I believe. But being a former Secretary of State will give her possibly immunity from outright prosecution. But she will be dealt with privately. The Clinton Foundation is another matter. I hope that Attorney General Barr goes after the Clinton Foundation with both guns blazing. That's what I'd like to see. And the Clinton Foundation will not have the protection of being a former Secretary of State. It's a private entity. That's where the bodies are buried, is the Clinton Foundation. They really are. Doug.
Oh, man, you're exactly right. And the origin, the genesis of this mafia, or organized crime syndicate, more appropriately, that we're seeing, is headquartered in Arkansas. It is the Clinton Foundation. And I say that based on the research of people like Charles Hertel, for example. By the way, I mean, just by being operational and straying from their organizational statement as in their articles of incorporation, the Clinton Foundation is in violation in all 50 states, or actually 49 states, and wherever they're operating. So you're right. But to your point about indictments, it's interesting because the former Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, Michael Atkinson, just released a very ridiculous statement everything anyone needed to know about the motives and intentions of fired Intelligence Community Inspector General Michael Atkinson. He released a political statement, I think it was last night, protesting his termination. And it's a diatribe. It's just so – it's steeped in political nonsense. It's incredible. But I think you're right. I think we're going to see some indictments, but not of the Clinton type. I think we're going to see maybe –
McCabe, John Brennan maybe, are very good possibilities.
Brennan, I can see him too.
Brennan is one of the main characters in that whole thing. He was very pivotal in everything that happened. You're not going to see Hussein Obama indicted. Valerie Jarrett, maybe, because she was running the country when it came to day-to-day business. That's a possibility. And we can speculate about others, but you're not going to see Hillary Clinton indicted. You're not going to see Hussein Obama indicted. They'll get a free pass and hopefully some public admonishment and maybe shutting down some of the things that they're helping run right now.
You know, I would like to see that happen sooner rather than later. A lot of hope was placed in, remember the Trust Sessions meme that was going on and what happened there. Now that arguably some things came out of that were positive, but for the most part, we didn't see anything move. You got IG Barr in there. You know, I know he's got some deep state connections, but however, it appears that he's advancing certain aspects of the investigations, like you said. I would like to see John Brennan really, under the microscope in terms of the, being indicted and then put on trial. I think that's a very good possibility. I like the way you're, I trust
well,
you.
It needs to happen. It needs to happen.
It does.
I would love to see Hillary Clinton indicted, but for many reasons, that's not going to happen.
No.
She's going to get a free pass.
Can you imagine this? Can you imagine seeing her walk in an orange jumpsuit with handcuffs, paraded in front of the cameras? What do you think the half the population's response would be to that? Oh, well, it's a political stunt by Donald Trump. It's political retribution. Go ahead.
Or she's a double. It's not really her.
No. There you go. Yeah. And hey, don't forget the ankle bracelets. But
yeah. And nobody died at Sandy Hook, right?
yeah. Well, there are a lot of questions about that, but the fact that deaths, yeah, I mean, look, isn't that sad though? Look, we're at a point where we have to question everything from 9/11, the events of 9/11 to Kennedy assassination. We question everything. We can't believe a word that comes out of the government's mouth. And from that is, well, no one died there or, you know, some variation of that. But anyway, it's just, I don't know. It's,
well, what was the number of children? 23, was it?
I don't know. Seriously, I don't know. Too many.
Well, let's make it easy. Let's make it 20. That means 40 parents. That means 80 grandparents. That means probably 20 to 30 siblings. That means all the first responders, which means several dozen police officers, several dozen paramedics. Dozens of firemen and all their spouses.
Sure.
All the children at the school who did not die and all their parents, all the school teachers and their spouses, all the coroner and the funeral home directors. We're looking at 500 adults that would have to be part of a conspiracy for that to be true. Easily.
Right. Right.
Easily.
But what I'm saying, no, but what I'm saying too is if we could trust what comes out of the government's mouth or a leader's mouth, then we wouldn't have this level of depraved indifference about the lives of the, of those who suffered losses. But sadly, we can't.
Right.
And you know, the government themselves, the government itself exacerbates by lying, either by commission or omission. And it's just, you know, it's sad. And we've got,
right.
So yeah, I mean,
I mean,
go ahead.
You know, I'm the commander of my American Legion post. I'm a lifetime member of the VFW. I've been a member of the Special Forces Association. I've noticed these veterans organizations, they're very careful in what they publish now about the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, and how they started. Because, you know, what we were taught in school is not how they started. The battleship Maine blew itself up in Havana Harbor. The Lusitania was sunk by the Germans because it had weapons of war in it, and they were, the German embassy was publishing advertisements, don't book passage in Lusitania because we're going to sink the sucker if we get a chance. That was not their language, but that's basically what they said.
Right.
And of course, Roosevelt knew about Pearl Harbor before it happened. In fact, a friend of mine was very good friends with one of Roosevelt's granddaughters. And the granddaughter says, you know, the family's taken a lot of heat now that almost everybody knows that Grandpa Franklin Roosevelt knew about Pearl Harbor before it happened. So these veterans organizations are very careful about how they publish these articles about the Spanish-American War, the World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. It's because the former Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, in his own autobiography, he admitted that the Gulf of Tonkin incident never happened. And the whole war was based on that being real. It wasn't real. It never happened.
And folks, don't send me emails saying that that's anti-Semitic, by the way, because it's not a far leap from there to those accusations, because it's not. It's just matter of fact. You're right, John. And you know, to bring it forward, to advance it to today, isn't it interesting how the left, pretty much the left, they've gathered in mass to take down statues, Robert E. Lee and other statues, to revise history in order to erase certain parts of history that they find inconvenient. And that's what we're seeing. And that's why it's so important to preserve our history intact, not the false history, but the real history intact. And I see that they're in an effort to erase history and revise it and to change it to the, you know, saying, hey, white man, or for example, white man bad, as one. You know, just listen to Ocasio-Cortez talking about why there hasn't been a woman president. If you haven't seen the Three Men at Ranch, John, you got to see it. It's funny as heck. And
AOC, I love to watch that.
Yeah, well, you know why? Because everyone's a misogynist. Because the guys are misogynists. And you know what? I was accused of misogyny. The only time I was ever accused of misogyny, guess where? In a legal filing against me as a defendant. I'm accused of misogyny. Up your wazoo, man. Okay? I'm sick of it. I'm tired of this crap. I'm tired of these snowflake idiots out there like Ocasio-Cortez saying, well, you're a misogynist because... Shut up! And you know, secondly, what's wrong with you people? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm fired up today.
Well, that's okay. You're obviously fired up, and we're down to the last 2 or 3 minutes.
Yes, we are. So you can have them all. So I don't get in trouble.
This week's different than last week, and next week we're talking will be different again, Doug. The Surgeon General said this week will be the worst week when it comes to deaths in New York City. We shall see. And you and I will be watching and listening and evaluating this coming 7 days. We'll be back together a week from today, and we'll be talking once again about where we are and where we're going. People need to be on their toes, alert to what's happening, aware of what's happening, and ready to move quickly as necessary.
Amen with that. You have said very much, thank you for being that stable voice of knowledge and information out there. And I think people respect, I know people respect you for that, and I respect you for that, and I appreciate everything you do. And you know what? We are at the end of the program. A little bit of housekeeping left after I release you, and we're good to go. So I appreciate it, man.
Well, Doug, thank you. I remind people of my website's thelibertyman.com, and I'm on the air live 8 to 10 Central, 9 to 11 Eastern, Monday through Friday, and archives at my website.
Right on, brother. And folks, tune in at thelibertyman.com. Tune in and listen to John every weekday. The real time is 9 to 11. That's the real time. That's Eastern time, but you do well. John, God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much for your
Thank you. We'll do this again soon.
All right. Okay. Next week. Bye. All right. Folks, that was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. And, you know, he's right, man. He's right. He's absolutely right. I want to thank you, our listeners, my listeners, for sticking with me, this platform. I've got to tell you, we've lost, we're suffering, too, in terms of the economic impact that this has had on us. I'm just going to say thank you for keeping us on the air. For those people who are members of our Patreon community, thank you. PayPal, thank you. By mail, thank you. I have a stack of mail I'm looking at, they're going to be looking at here shortly. Thank you for supporting this organization. Really appreciate it. And you can tell we don't spend it unnecessarily. I mean, look. All right. That's all I got to say. Look, I don't spend it unnecessarily. Dog shears and a son-in-law. And a very motivated son-in-law. Folks, I want to thank you so very much. We have to have laughs once in a while, right? Don't we? I want to thank you so very, very much for all that you do. Thank you for tuning in. Please, if you like what you hear, please share this. Do me a favor. Although it seems counterintuitive because we are completely demonetized on YouTube. Nonetheless, subscribe to us on YouTube. Why? Because it messes with the algorithms. And bookmark HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com. And oh, guess what? We've got some surprises for you. And also, Hagman Store for coffee, HagmanStore.com. I want to say thank you. Have a great night, everyone.